All right, go ahead and be seated. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Thank you, Brother Cooley, for taking my text this morning. I was so sure, and I am so sure, that God wanted me to preach this message when Brother Shepherd mentioned to me last night. I went back to the motel and started trying to pray and study and look over a few things, and God directed me towards this text. I was so sure about this that I took all the other outlines out of my Bible. So this is it. So we do appreciate the privilege to be able to serve the Lord. While you're turning there to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we'll tell you a little bit about ourselves. God allowed my family to be missionaries in Australia for almost 12 years. We served the Lord there in Australia from May of 2001 until January of 2013. Our director of our mission agency fell sick, and back in 2008 or 9, I think it was, he asked me to pray about coming back to Mississippi to be the director of the mission agency there in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And I said, man, God's called me to be a missionary. And, you know, one of the things I said as a young missionary on deputation, I said, I will never be a director. I will never be a representative. And as my mother told me, she said, never say never. So, you know, I didn't go looking to be a director. I didn't look for a position of this nature. You know, we was saved in Concord Baptist Church there in Fairmount, Georgia, Brother Sammy Allen's our pastor for many years, 20-something years, before we took this position here at Warrenton in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And that was in January of 13 when we came back from the mission field, and God allowed us to serve there as the director of that agency for a little over 8 years. Back up 4 years to around the year 2017, I think it was, Brother Randy Sutherland, now the pastor at Concord Baptist Church, called me out of the blue, and he said, Brother, he said, I want you to pray about coming back to Concord and helping us start a mission board. And I said, well, I'm thrilled that you would have that confidence in me, and I said, we'll pray about it. But we did pray about it, and it kept getting shelved. Brother Sammy Allen, my former pastor, he called me, and he said, you never know. God may want you back here. And Brother Ballou would talk to me about it, and we would pray about it, and things of this nature. But it just kept getting shelved. And I came to visit Brother Ballou on his deathbed there in the hospital, and our whole family walked into the room. And he smiled great big, greeted my wife by name, all three of our children by name. He didn't say anything to me, but looked at me and said, what's the Holy Spirit telling you to do? I said, Preacher, I don't know, but if you know, I wish you'd tell me. In Brother Ballou's fashion, he just bowed his head, smiled, and shook his head. But fast forward to this past December, Brother Randy Sutherland called me. We were serving there as the director at Warrenton Baptist Mission Agency there in Vicksburg. We was in the middle of our mission conference that year, last year. And he said, Brother Ellis, he said, I believe that it's God's will for you to come here and help us start a mission board at Concord Baptist Church. I said, I will pray about it 1 month and I'll call you back.
Right.
I prayed about it, couldn't get away from it. God kept confirming things over and over and over and over again. I could not get away from it. It's not a position that I'd sought out. If I could be back on the mission field, brother, I'd rather be back on the mission field. Does anybody here want to take my place so I can go back to the mission field? We are starting Concord Baptist Missions International, CBMI. And at first, I'd like to say we're not in competition with any other mission boards. We're not here to proselyte any other missionaries or anything like that. We are in the early stages of getting this ministry off the ground. We haven't opened it up to accept missionaries as of yet. We have talked, or six different missionaries thus far have talked with us about potentially coming with CBMI. So we are in the process of getting all of our policies and precepts, our bylaws and everything of that nature set up. Lord willing, in the near future, we're about to start building office buildings in the old sanctuary of Concord Baptist Church. We do ask you to help us pray about that. And we will be working with church planting missionaries, that those missionaries have the goal of seeing souls saved and baptized and seeing an indigenous church started.
Amen.
I sat down with two missionaries just about 3 weeks ago, young missionaries, and I asked them, do you know what an indigenous church is? They had no idea. They had no idea what an indigenous church. The word indigenous, some from the dictionary, means originating or occurring naturally. It means in a particular place. It means native. And that's the dictionary's definition. Now, the indigenous church principle is where missionaries get their support from their supporting churches. They go to the field and they train those nationals. They see people saved. They train them get a church started, get a nucleus together, and they train them to give, to pay their own bills, support their own ministry. But we're living in a day where we have a tendency, and it's trending, for missionaries to have their hand out and say, we've got a need on the field. We need to buy land. We've got a need on the field. We need to build a building. And it teaches the nationals on the field that they don't have to pay the bills. That they don't have to depend on God. That they don't have to do it. That the missionary, his people, can take care of it. You know what it is? It's Christian welfare. It's Christian welfare. We're going to be working with church planting missionaries that have a goal of planting indigenous churches on the field. You see, a missionary's job or his goal should be to work himself out of a job.
To see a
nucleus of people, see people saved, get that church going, and to resign.
To bring in a
preacher, bring in a national, to give them that pastor, and then for him to go and to start again.
Amen.
Start again. You see, it's not the job of a missionary to stay in one place and become the pastor or to become a kingdom builder. Oh, no, no, no. We're getting away from what the Bible teaches about missions when we're doing that. Concord Baptist Missions International is under the authority of Concord Baptist Church.
Amen.
We are a ministry, not a business.
Amen.
Brother Randy Sutherland, our pastor, he's the president of the mission, and I am the director. We're here to assist missionaries, local churches, as they take the gospel into all the world. Like I said earlier, we're a ministry and not a business.
Yeah, come on.
We will not be charging our missionaries for our services.
Amen.
We will not be taking a percentage of the support that their supporters give to them for our services.
Amen.
We will not be doing that. The missionaries will receive 100% of the support that comes into them. We look forward to be working with missionaries that are saved, that are called, that are qualified according to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. We believe and teach the King James Bible is right for the English-speaking people. We look forward to working with missionaries that have biblical convictions and standards. Missionaries that dress right and live right while they're here in the U.S., while they're on the field, while they're on vacation. Amen. Amen. I've been there. I've seen missionaries here, and I've seen missionaries there. And while they're here, it's one way, and while they're there, it's another way. I'm not interested in that. I ask you to pray for us. We're not looking to be the biggest mission board. We're not doing that. We want to be what the Lord wants us to be for this ministry. We do ask you to pray about supporting the ministry. We will, and we do have expenses that will, like I said, will not come out of the missionary support. But we do have expenses like office staff, stationery, and office supplies. And like I said, we're about to start building a new building. Not a new building, but we're building new offices inside the old sanctuary. So do pray with us about that. We just want to do and be what God wants us to be in these days. And we're looking to be a help. And so we're privileged to be here. And I do want to thank the Lord for the Island Ford Baptist Church. You did support us for some time while we were in Australia. And we thank you for your faithfulness through that. And I'm here to tell you not only thank you, but there is fruit in heaven, or fruit for that will be in heaven from Australia that will be credited to your account at the judgment seat. So if you have your Bible, Is this my water preacher here?
Yes, sir.
All right. If you have your Bible, we're back in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And again, thank you, Brother Cooley, for that great message. And thank you for making me nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof over there preaching my text. Amen.
Amen.
All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. We're going to read verse number 1 through 7. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege it is to be saved. I want to thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Thank you for another day of life. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to stand to try to preach your word. Lord, I'm nothing, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you get glory out of this message and that people will get help. Lord, we pray for your touch. And we pray for the remainder of this meeting. God, I ask you just to have your will and way and do a work in our lives that only heaven can do. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us.
Amen.
I want to preach to you on this thought this morning on the subject of cause and effect. Cause and effect. Cause and effect is a relationship between events or things where one is the result of the other or others. Cause and effect is a combination of action and reaction. You think about cause and effect and you may think, well, that sounds like an unusual subject, but as you look in your Bible, it's seen over and over in the Bible, and we see it over and over in our lives. It's seen in the physical realm. I used to live in Oklahoma. I grew up there as a young man, I'd walk up the driveway to catch the school bus, and our driveway crossed a pond dam, and I don't know how many rocks I threw in that pond. I'm sure my daddy didn't like me throwing the driveway rocks in the pond, but it sure was fun. The cause was me throwing the rock, and the effect was the ripples that it caused on the water. The splash. The bigger the rock, the bigger the splash. Proverbs 30 in verse number 33 gives us three good examples of cause and effect. I'm not asking you to turn, I just want you to listen. Proverbs 30 in verse number 33. Surely the churning of milk. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter. The churning of milk is the cause, and butter is the effect.
Amen.
Now, stop there. It says, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood.
Amen.
Wringing of the nose is the cause. And I mean, it says, and blood is the effect. I was looking at the wrong verse here. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and wringing of nose bringeth forth blood. Doesn't stop there. In the end of the verse, it says, so the forcing of wrath, which is the cause, bringeth forth strife, which is the effect. You're going to force something, you're going to have somebody mad.
Right.
You're going to be forceful. So we see cause and effect. It's seen in the physical realm. But it's also seen in both the lost and the saved. Matthew 12 and verse 35, a good man out of the good treasury of his heart bringeth forth good things. So we see a good man, and you can't have a good man unless you've got a saved man. So we see cause and effect. You see a good man out of the good treasure, you see good treasure, it's a cause that bringeth forth good things, that's the effect.
Yes.
An evil man, it's the cause out of the evil treasure, it's the cause again, bringeth forth evil things, that's
right.
The effect. It's not only seen in the lost and the saved, but it's seen in our old Adamic sin nature that we have to deal with as a saved person. James 1, verse number 14 and 15, it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived," that's the cause, "it bringeth forth sin." And that's the effect.
Yes.
"And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That's more of the effect. Not only is it seen in our Adamic sin nature, it's seen in eternity. You say, "What do you mean, preacher? If you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell.
Right.
If you don't repent and receive the Lord Jesus, you're going to go to hell. But if you do repent and receive the Lord Jesus and get saved, you're going to go to heaven."
Yeah.
Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord."
Yeah.
So I want to go back to our text here that we've read here at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 1 through 7. And I want to look at several things this morning, and I want to talk to you about cause and effect. First of all, number 1, I want you to look at verse number 1 here in chapter number 4. And first of all, I'd like to say, number 1, that ministry is the effect of mercy. Ministry is the effect of mercy. Now ministry is the effect, and mercy is the cause, but ministry is the effect of mercy. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." You know, there are plenty of religious people out there, plenty of religious lost people is what I'm trying to say, that are in the ministry, that are doing things back to front. They're doing things backwards. And they're trying to minister, but they've never experienced the mercy of God in their own lives. The Bible plainly tells us over there in the book of Matthew, chapter number 7 and verse number 21, Jesus was telling us here, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he which doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. But many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and have done many wonderful works?" Religious people, preachers, people that are in the church. He says, many wonderful works, great things they've done. And he said in verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." There are plenty out there that are doing things back to front. They're doing ministry, but they have not received mercy. Ministry, real ministry, is the effect of mercy. See, the only reason that we as saved people can minister to others is because God has showed mercy on us. Our Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 9, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." I'm glad that ministry is the effect of mercy. But you're not going to have any ministry unless you've had real mercy. We seem to be living in a day when many people want God's mercy, but they don't want God's ministry. Don't be a Dead Sea Christian. The Dead Sea takes in, and it takes in, and it takes in, and it never gives out. A Dead Sea Christian sits there and takes in and takes in and takes in and never gives out. Don't be a Dead Sea Christian. You see, the Dead Sea, it's below sea level. And Dead Sea Christians are below sea level. Below sea level. The Bible tells us where there's no vision, the people perish. You see, receiving God's mercy, that's salvation. You see, many people don't want to do anything for God in return. God didn't save us to be pew warmers. A lot of people have the idea, well, I go to church, I serve the Lord, I go to church. Going to church is not serving the Lord. It's where we come and worship Him. We serve Him in the field. We serve Him out there. Jesus said in Matthew 13, He said, "The field is the world." The field is the world. I can hear some people say now, "Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not in the ministry." I want you to notice what Paul said here in our verse. He said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Paul didn't say I have this ministry. He said we. You know what Paul did when he used the personal pronoun we? You know what he said? You know what he said here when he said we? He included himself with the carnal Corinthians. And he said that we collectively have a ministry. We have a ministry, and once we get saved, once we get born again, life becomes a ministry. It's no longer the self-seeking, aimless, existing without a purpose. It's a ministry. You see, for the ministry for the child of God is multifaceted. There's many things that's in the ministry. There's pulpit ministry. There's Sunday school ministry. There's church visitation. Church visitation. He said, oh, we can't do that anymore. Yeah, we're doing it. We're going knocking on doors. You going to let the devil stop you? There's some that don't want you to talk to you because of things that are going on. Don't stop being the ministering for the Lord. Keep going to visitation. There's ministry of helps. There's the ministry of giving to faith promise. Here in our Bible in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 18, it talks about the ministry of reconciliation. There's the ministry within our home. There's the ministry of supporting your spouse and living a life that points your children and your grandchildren to Jesus Christ and not away from them. Every child of God should be doing something for the Lord. You see, when a sinner gets saved, it makes you want to do something for him. If you don't have that desire to do something for him, you need to check up. So ministry is the effect of mercy. Secondly, I want you to look back at our verse, chapter number 4 and verse number 1. And I'd like to say this, number 2, that fainting is the effect of not seeing. Fainting is the effect of not seeing. Look what our verse says. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. It seems like that we have a lot of God's children fainting today. I believe one of the reasons is a lack of quality of prayer time. Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse number 1, He spake a parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The word faint there means to be utterly spiritless. It means to be wearied out. It means to be exhausted. And I will say that operating in the flesh will wear you out and we'll faint. We'll fall out by the wayside. But I believe there's another reason for fainting that we're seeing in this generation. It's right here in this verse that we see right here. He says, therefore, we're seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. And I see the reason right here in the word seeing. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. You know, too many times we fail to see.
Yep. Right.
We fail to see. We've got our blinders on.
Right.
We got tunnel vision.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. Let me ask you, do you see the need in your church?
Amen.
Spiritual needs are not the only needs at your church.
Yep.
Your pastor needs help. And he didn't say amen. He didn't tell me to say it either. Your pastor needs help. There are things down at the church that need to be taken care of.
Sure.
That you can do.
Amen.
Do you see the need where you work? Do you?
Amen.
Or is it just a humdrum, everyday thing? You've just gotten used to life. Do you see the need in your community? I was reading in my devotions this morning. The Lord showed me this here this morning. And over there in 2 Kings chapter number 6, talking about Elisha and his servant there. And it says, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant, Elisha's servant, said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do this?
Amen.
And he answered, Elisha answered and said, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Amen.
And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of the fire about Elisha.
Amen.
Servant of Elisha there, he couldn't see.
Yep.
He couldn't see. I mean, the eyes of his flesh, he saw the problem. They were surrounded by the enemy. But yet, when the eyes are open, we can see the protection and we can see the potential that God wants.
Amen.
God, help us to see and not faint.
Amen.
Do you see the need in your home? Husband, do you see the need in your wife?
Amen.
Do you see the need in your children?
Right.
Wife, do you see the need in your husband?
Amen.
And your children?
Amen.
You better pay attention.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, the devil will set a trap.
Yep.
Somebody else will see the need if you don't.
Right.
How are we going to accomplish so much without a vision? Proverbs 29, verse number 18, I mentioned it earlier, where there is no vision, the people perish. May God help us to be like Moses when the Bible tells us about him in Hebrews 11 and verse number 27. It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. It says, for he endured. You say, I'm having a hard time enduring in these days. It says, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How'd he make it? He kept his eyes on the Lord. Seeing him who is invisible. May God help us not only to see him, but may God help us to see them that are out there.
Yes, sir.
Look what our Bible says in verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. It says, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. Do you see them?
Right.
Do you see them?
Right.
Went to McDonald's this morning about 6:30 to get me something to eat. I woke up hungry. The Lord said, give that person a gospel tract right there.
Amen.
I didn't want to. They might do something to my food. If I, you know. No, give them a gospel tract.
Amen.
Get their blood off your hands.
Amen.
There's something for every child of God. Open our eyes that we may see. Fainting is the effect of not seeing. Are you going to faint?
Right.
Or are you going to see?
Amen.
Number 3, look back at our text. Verse number 2, ministry is the effect of mercy. Fainting is the effect of not seeing. But number 3, sanctification is the effect of salvation.
Amen.
Look what our verse says in verse number 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The word sanctification literally means to be set apart by God. To God and for God. So we see here, it says, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. You see, when we receive mercy, it'll make you renounce that old life.
Right.
You see, if you're living the way you always did, something ain't right.
Yeah, right.
God will deal with you about dishonesty. He will deal with you about craftiness. He will deal with you about being deceitful. He puts a desire to be truthful in our lives when we get saved. Genuine salvation produces a continual change.
Amen.
A continual change. None of us have arrived.
That's right.
None of us. I don't care. I remember my granddad, he was in his 80s and I was in my early 20s and I told him something. I went home to see him and I'd been in Bible college and I went back to Oklahoma to see my granddad and my grandma said, he's out in the melon patch hoeing weeds. I thought, my goodness, here he is 80-something years old out in the hot Oklahoma sun hoeing weeds in the melon patch. What a patch is a field. And I got out there and we was talking and I told him something and he said, no, you son, you taught me something. He said, I didn't know that. He said, I guess the day that I stop learning will be the day I die.
Yeah.
God help us to have that attitude that we have not arrived, that we're always in the need of learning.
Yes,
I like what Paul said in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I have not arrived.
Right.
Salvation produces a continual change. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Right.
Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. It's continual action. I'm glad God's still working on me.
Amen.
Continually works on us to change us for the better. And not the worse.
Right.
I like what the old preacher John Jasper said years ago. Read it or heard it in a quote. I can't remember. He said, if you is what you was, he said, then you ain't.
That's right.
Sanctification is the effect of salvation.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Lastly, I want you to look at verses number 3 through 7. We won't read all of them again for sake of time right now. But lastly, this morning, I'd like to say that no fruit is the effect of hiding the gospel. No fruit is the effect of hiding the gospel.
Amen.
Verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." You got any fruit? Are you hiding the gospel? Have you got any fruit? There are two kinds of fruit in the Christian life. There's the fruit of the Spirit that mentions in Galatians chapter number 5, verses number 22 and 23. There's love, joy, and peace that's inward. And there's long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness that's outward. And there's faith, meekness, and temperance that's Godward. Not only is there the fruit of the Spirit, there's the fruit of souls. The Bible tells us in John, Jesus said in John 15 and verse number 5, He said, "I am the vine." He said, "Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Jesus went on to say in John 15 and verse number 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, he may give it you."
Amen.
He said that you should go and bring forth fruit.
Amen.
We got some figs growing there at the house. Just about to get sized where the birds are about to come in and take over. I bought me a net to put on them. I hadn't got it on there yet. But I tell you what, there'll be no fruit that's received off of the fig trees if I don't go to the fig tree.
Right.
Jesus said that you should go and bring forth fruit.
Amen.
I'm glad to see these missionaries here today.
Right.
I used to pray, Brother Shepherd, that God, please don't let me be a statistic.
Yes.
Please, and what I meant by that was, don't let me fall out by the wayside.
Right.
Don't
right.
let me... But I got to realizing there's good statistics and there's bad statistics.
Right. Yes.
All of us are going to be a statistic.
Yes.
But the chances, maybe chance is not the right word. Most missionaries that start out on deputation don't make it to the field.
Right.
Most missionaries that make it on their first term don't back to second.
Right.
And there's a great percentage of those that go back, even for the second, that are coming off the field.
Yep.
You need to keep your eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
I am not a perfect person. I am a work in progress. You see, when God saved us, He shined His love and His life into our hearts. See what the Bible says here? It says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts."
Amen.
And the reason is to give the light and knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, God wants us to shine and God wants us to share with them that are mentioned here in verse number 14 that the devil is blinded. Share your treasure that's within your vessel. See, the Bible says here in verse number 7, "But we have this treasure."
Amen.
We got a treasure.
Amen.
It's in this earthen vessel and we need to share the vessel. Share the treasure that's in your vessel. Don't keep it yourself. Don't be a Dead Sea Christian. Let me ask you, what are you doing with your life?
Amen.
What are you doing with your lives? Your life is the only Bible that some people will ever read.
That's right.
What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your lips? He said, "Oh, I'm just going to live for the Lord. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to be one of those silent disciples." Oh, no. You need to do both.
Amen.
He talks about there in Hebrews 13, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually." That is the fruit of our lips.
Amen.
The fruit of our lips. Amen. Giving thanks to His name.
Amen.
What are you doing with your light? Are you hiding it under a bushel?
Right.
Oh, I don't want them to know who I am. I don't want... When God started working about us coming back to Concord, that was in December. By February, God let us buy a house in in Calhoun. And by end of May, our house in Vicksburg was sold. I'm talking about God was just boom, boom, moving things along. And what I'm trying to say is, when we move to a new place, I start going to the neighbors. I want them to know who I am.
Right.
Not about me,
right.
But I want them to know that I want to be a witness for the Lord.
Amen.
Talk to them, invite them to church.
Amen.
Pray for them. Hey, let me ask you, what are you doing with your light?
Amen.
You say, I don't have much. I can't do much. I'm reminded of a young boy there in the book of Matthew that didn't have a lot. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 16 through 18, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give you them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here. We have here. But five loaves and two fishes. And he said, bring them hither to me.
Amen.
He said, I ain't got much. They didn't have much either. Five loaves, two fishes. The Bible says, tells us, that 5,000 men were fed plus women and children. I said that to say this. I want you to look back at our text. You say, I ain't got much. Oh, yes, you do.
Right.
Yes, we do. Mm. Look at what our text tells us. In verse number 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy.
Right.
We've received mercy. We have mercy.
Right.
Not only that, we have this ministry. You've got a ministry. We've got a ministry.
Yeah, right.
But not only that, look at verse number 7. But we have this treasure.
Amen.
You've got mercy. We've got mercy. We've got a ministry. And we've got a treasure.
Amen.
What are we going to do with it?
Right. Good.
My question to you this morning is, have you received His mercy?
Amen.
Are you saved? I trust everybody here is, but there may be somebody that's not. I'd like to say there's no way to heaven without it.
Amen.
No way to heaven without it.
Amen.
And if you have received His mercy, what are you doing with the treasure and the ministry that He's given you?
Amen.
Let me ask you, is the cause of Christ making an effect in your life? David said, is there not a cause? Why are you hiding from this Philistine? Is there not a cause? Is the cause of Christ making an effect in your life? And lastly, is the cause of Christ making an effect on others through your life?
Amen.
Father, we thank You for the privilege to try to stand and preach Your Word, to try to do what You wanted this morning. I pray, God, that You just do a work through this meeting. Thank You for being so good to us. We ask and give thanks for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.